Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRA Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what is the hot topic we've discussed this week?
We're doing something a little different. Today, we're going to do role play. And you guys that are listening, it's funny because some of my team members are really nervous because I'm going to be interviewing them. But it's all about transforming that traditional concept of elevator pitch into how you as a job seeker can use that concept to become very practical in your preparation for some of the most common interview questions. And we already had a part one of this sequence. So this is the nitty gritty on, okay, let's really talk about what some real live examples are and how we came up with those examples. And for those of you that are listening, just a reminder, you know, an elevator pitch is really just a 30 or 60 second, very simple overview. And it's supposed to help you craft answers to some of the most basic questions like, tell me a little bit about yourself. Why do you want this position, etc.? By the way, why have you been out of work for XYZ years? Because some of those questions are going to be asked regardless. And so with that being said, we're just going to dive in. And so I'm going to ask one of my team members a question. She's going to answer it in her elevator pitch. And then we're going to talk about how she came up with it. And we're going to give you some tips and advice along the ways. I expect there to be some errors, some mistakes, some flubs. And so you guys will get to see this real time. So, all right. So, Miss Natalie, you are on deck first.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Natalie, tell me a little bit about yourself.
All right. I'm going to put this in a clinical research associate perspective since this is what we focus on. So a little bit about myself. I am a clinical research associate with experience in monitoring in phase 1 through 3 studies. I have worked on various therapeutics such as oncology, CNS, and women's health as one of my strongest therapeutics. At the moment, my project is coming to an end. So I am working on a breast cancer phase 1 study. I also do site management, and I'm looking for a new opportunity at about 100% utilization with no travel restrictions. I enjoy working with sponsor clients, but I'm also looking for an opportunity that will continue to challenge me as a CRA. That's my elevator pitch. That's me telling myself or the interviewer a little bit about myself. But in regards to that, I broke it down into three.
Okay.
Three categories: past, present, and future. Your past is who you are and your relevant background, such as your education, any key experiences, what you've done as a CRA or how many years or so forth. Present, what you are doing now and achievements or strengths in your career. So for instance, I'm working on a phase 1 breast cancer study. I provide site management. And then future is what you want to do, what you're looking for. So in that regards, I'm looking for a new opportunity at 100% utilization, no travel restrictions. I love to work with sponsors, but I'm also open to opportunities that will allow me to continue to challenge myself. So it's a little bit of everything. And like you said, you want to keep it short and sweet and not just ramble on about yourself.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the article that I wrote was funny because she talked about her science fair when she was in high school. And, you know, people think that that's hysterical, but we get that, don't we? I'm a mom of three and I love, you know, this, that, or the other and all of that. And the point that you made was that you want to talk about your past that's relevant.
Exactly.
In this case, obviously, you're talking to a sponsor or a boutique CRO that needs someone in oncology. And that was, I think, I want this audience to hear, that's why you chose, and that's what I'm reading in between the lines, that's why you chose to talk about your oncology, maybe your CNS and women's health as some of your key therapeutics, because those would be the therapeutics that your sponsor cares about. You don't need to talk about device if it's not a device study.
Right.
You don't need to talk, you know, so those types of things I think is important. And your current experience, breast cancer. Now, you guys, if you're applying for a breast cancer project and you haven't worked on breast cancer for a really long time, then just talk about your therapeutics. I'm currently working on a phase two, or I'm working on a large study, or I'm working on a study that has challenging recruitment. Think about what might apply to the current audience that you're speaking with, and build your past, present, and future accordingly. And so, good job. Were you nervous?
No. I mean, I wasn't nervous, like jitters, but it was like, Natalie, don't stumble and say a wrong something, or you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Don't go and ramble.
Well, that's it,
no.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but no, I was okay. Ramble. I was okay.
Preparation is king.
Right? It is key. It is definitely key.
All right. Becky, I'm going to ask you next.
All right.
So Becky's next in the hot seat. So Becky, tell me, why are you interested in this particular position?
Well, I am passionate about being a CRA, as I've learned just how important this role is to a study, having worked as a monitor for the past 15 years. And your cardiac rare disease project is especially exciting, as I've wanted to make a difference in the specialty since my nephew was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis a year ago. And I think my 6 years of rare disease experience will give me solid foundations to help. And I've really been seeking a long-term home, especially with a smaller sponsor, so I can be more hands-on invested in studies from start to finish. And my well-rounded experience as a coordinator, a CRA, and a clinical lead will enable me to jump in with any extra needs you may have.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. Okay. Right. Now, break this down for the audience. How did you come up with this elevator pitch?
Yeah, so I broke it down into three sections, similar to Natalie, but slightly different sections. I focused on the what, the why, and the who that we talk about a lot. So I started with the what. I'm passionate about being a CRA, and what I've done, I've monitored for the past 15 years. I gave tidbits about my experience sprinkled throughout this pitch, but the what, I started out first. What? I'm a CRA. I love to be a CRA. I want to be your CRA, right? And then the why was the bit in the middle. I really want to do your cardiac rare disease project because it's important to me. It's near and dear to my heart with my family member that was diagnosed with a rare disease. And then I also sprinkled in just a little bit about that I already have some rare disease experience. I just don't have the cardiac version, which is why I really want to do this study to round out my TA experience. And then I ended with the who. I wrapped it back around to why do I want to work for you? I really want a long-term home, especially with a smaller sponsor. And this is why. So I can be more hands-on. And invested like often you do when you're a CRA with a sponsor rather than a big CRO who might come in and monitor and then hand it off to the in-house CRA, right? And then talked just the very last bit, another plug about my experience that I've had a couple of different roles that I can jump in with any extra needs you may have. Wearing extra hats is important with a small sponsor in case they need other things done in addition to what your main role is. So the what, the why, and the who is what I covered.
Really great job on this, Becky. And I think it's important to call out the fact that she clearly spent time, hypothetically, because I know this is a fake thing, but still, you know, she spent time on the sponsor's website to understand what the sponsor's focus is. And you know, we've coached individuals, and Becky's heard it on some of these coaching sessions, to where people almost argue with me about how it isn't important to tailor your responses to the particular client that you're speaking with. And this goes with resumes and LinkedIn, as well as the elevator pitch. You know, so if we were talking about this, and I'll put you back on the hot seat, or any of you, the rest of you guys can jump in here, but how could you take this data now and populate it into your resume or LinkedIn? Because it is about taking this information and being prepared to talk about it from an elevator pitch perspective. But you can write these into your resume and LinkedIn too, right? You guys have any suggestions on that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can put a lot of this into a cover letter. You could put a lot of this into a summary section at the top of your resume. You could put it in the about section of LinkedIn, or even the header. Certain things. I mean, you don't necessarily want to talk about a specific project on your LinkedIn if you're interviewing with multiple clients and whatnot. But if, especially if it's for this position, put it in the cover letter. Put the specifics
right
at the top of your resume, for sure.
Yeah, tell the story. Your resume doesn't have to be so blooming formal that you can't tell the story. I am applying to your position because a year ago, and this is very passionate to me. Here's the experience that I have. You have to bridge it back to something concrete. Here's the experience that I have that will make me a great fit, blah, blah, blah. And then you just kind of go from there. You can have this elevator pitch ready in your resume or your cover letter whenever you do the application to begin with. Be personal. Let that leap off the page so that whenever the hiring manager looks at your resume, they're like, oh my gosh, I've got to talk to Becky. I really want to talk to her about this because this is the type of person I'm looking for my studies. Someone who cares, someone who's really interested in this from a different level.
Mm-hmm. So. But don't worry, audience. I don't have a nephew who has cystic fibrosis. Just throwing that out there.
So, all right. Miss Carrie, you're next. So, Carrie, tell me what qualities that you have that makes you a good fit for this particular position.
Well, one of the main reason I'm a strong fit for this role is that I genuinely see my work as a service, whether that be to the team, to the site, and to the patients, of course, and to our company's goals. I'm very focused on listening first, understanding what the business needs, then rolling up my sleeves to jump in to take care of the work. And in my past roles, that's meant mentoring my teammates, taking on tasks that's sometimes out of my job description, but that's just because it's helped the project, and proactively look for ways to improve processes so the company can grow more efficiently. And at the same time, I'm results driven. I'm always thinking about how my decisions impact the bigger picture, whether that be timelines, quality, or long-term growth of the company. I want to be the person that leadership can count on to protect the mission, support the team, and consistently move the organization forward.
All right. So thank you for this. Now, I love the fact that you spent a lot of time on this. I do. I think the only thing that, and for all of you guys that are listening, I want you to listen to all of the buzzwords that she used here, because a lot of these are going to be what's going to get her found in her resume, especially if she's got some of these on her resume or LinkedIn profile and that type of thing. Listening first is a wonderful attribute. Rolling up my sleeves, you know, removing obstacles, doing whatever's asked, all of those types of things. One thing that could make this a little bit stronger is to give real examples of where you've done this. So for example, whenever, and I love that you talked about the fact as a leader, you're willing to roll up your sleeves and do whatever it takes. For example, in my last role, and then give an example. So don't be afraid to show examples, because you're saying all the right things, but then give proof. Really kind of lead that into, okay, so like I proactively look for ways to improve processes. Like in my last role, I helped to improve ramp up time or onboarding time, or I helped to drive training documentation so that new team members would have da 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 da. So making sure that you're layering in that proof along with what you know you have in terms of skills, but here's the proof of where I've done it in the past. So great job on that. Any other thoughts on Miss Carrie's, because this is a tough one. It's very similar to what Becky had and said, but it's somewhat different, isn't it? And this is another example to where you can use an elevator pitch to tailor it to the actual question without having to change too much in it.
I think the main thing for me when I went into this was to always make sure that I show that I am here to serve this new company in the way that I've served past companies. But you've raised a very good point. I need to show where I've done that for past companies. So, because I'm not a brand new person to the industry.
Right. Share your results. Mm-hmm. And here you made another point. You're not, you've been in the industry for a minute, but what if you were brand new? So if you were applying for a team lead position and you're fresh out of college, lean into those experiences. Surely you led a college project. surely you, if you're interested in leadership and that's a passion of yours, you were an officer in some type of program or club or charity something or whatever, and lean into that. It does, you know, transferable skills. Well, they transfer. I mean, it doesn't have to be that you were a leader as a CRA or a clinical ops manager. You could have been a lead in another role and you're still motivating others. You're still negotiating with them. You're still correcting them. You're still, you know, doing those types of things that leaders do. And that's why they call them transferable skills. Those soft skills are critically important. And you can lean into any examples to show that you've exhibited it in a past or previous position or project or some other type of personal role, even like at a church or that type of thing. I mean, don't underestimate the power of those types of skills and how you can show them as proof.
Stay tuned for part two, where we go into more examples of elevator pitches for interviews and networking conversations.